This week on What's Up ABQ, you're listening to this podcast for a reason. You're interested in Albuquerque, you're a lover of Albuquerque, or you want to keep updated on what's going on in this beautiful, unique, amazing community that we call home. Today, if you don't already have reasons to love this great city, Lindsay and Ryan's guest has an answer for you.
Oh man, this is my favorite question. We truly have this like heart in this community.
Come on, people. It's time to start bragging on our city. This week's guest isn't just paid to tout the town, but she's a bold optimist for everything Albuquerque, and she wants you to start bragging about Burquet too. Join us in raising a toast and shouting a cheer for our hometown on this week's edition of What's Up ABQ.
What's up, Albuquerque? This is Lindsay.
And this is Ryan.
And this is season two of What's Up ABQ.
Welcome back to another episode of What's a Baby Q. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Lindsay. And today we have
Anne-Marie Henton with Albuquerque Economic Development.
So before we were recording, we were talking a little bit about your guys' newest endeavor. I don't want to say newest, but your thing. What is your thing?
A couple of years ago, actually, it was probably 2 years ago now, me and two other women in town, Alexis Tappan and Emily Howard, and a gentleman by the name of Mike Canfield, who runs the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center, we had all been kind of kicking around, how do we change the narrative around Albuquerque? Because Albuquerque residents, we're like those kids that are like, you can't say anything bad about my brother, but I can. So we're constantly saying all these negative things about Albuquerque and not even recognizing that we do it, and definitely not recognizing how that plays into our lack of ability to promote this place to people, to talent that might want to come here, to companies that are looking to go where talent wants to be. So it's this big, you know, what I would call hamster wheel of we do it to ourselves, right? And so we started this project off truly by thinking about, well, what is somebody's experience when they come to Albuquerque, especially if they're not from here? Because if you're from here, we all know the joke, it's 1 degree of separation. We all turn 18 and want to get the heck out. You know, it's like the same narrative over and over. But if you're somebody who comes here out of circumstance or choice, what are those circumstances and choices? And then what makes you stay? And we wanted hard research to be able to push back on some of these headlines we were seeing, like, oh, mass exodus, or like, nobody wants to live here. Everybody wants to move to Denver. And we're all looking around at each other. I love ripping on Denver, by the way.
I roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, Denver.
Which Denver is awesome. But it's like everybody I know from Albuquerque who moved to Denver is reaching out to me to figure out how to move back to Albuquerque right now. Yeah. So.
Somebody who started the group, it's like 505 in the 303, uh-huh. And I'm like, you guys, just come back. It's fine.
We're here. We're still here.
We're not gonna. We might give you a little bit of crap, but you can come back. You're welcome back.
Totally welcome back. So I did want to be able to push back on that and say, hey, look, we surveyed people, and there's plenty of people who want to be here. I mean, I look around in my circles and I'm going, there are amazing, smart, talented people here who aren't here because this is the only place they can be. They're here because they want to be. And that's what we tell companies all the time too. I mean, sure, if you're going to locate in a place that has a well-known reputation for tech talent, of course you're going to go to Silicon Valley. Right. But if you come here, people are here because they want to be here. They're not chasing the next best thing. This is where they want to build their lives. And so it's a selling point for people.
So interesting that I think as New Mexicans, we look at people that come from other places and we assume they're here against their will. Right. Like, I'm like, oh, what brought you? Like, why? Why? And then that's always a question I ask, why? And I catch myself saying it in such a condescending way, like, why do you want to be here when you could be all these other places?
Yeah.
But
I think in reality, we're all here because we want to be here too.
Right. And I'm like, I feel like we forget that there are people that come here and they choose to be here and they want to be here and they're excited about being here. It's not like a drudgery on their totally. On their situation.
Well, and I totally get that as being one of the people that moved back last summer, you know, when I was away for 10 years, I started missing all these things. Like, yeah, I could figure out how to grow green chilies in my backyard because I was desperate.
In Missouri.
Yes. No, really, I did. But it's not the same. Like, you know, every fall, everybody's roasting outside, like Bloom Fiesta. Yeah, and you have this local culture that is naturally organic. You're not going to find anywhere else. There's so many good things, and we need to find more ways to talk about that. For sure. Because it doesn't get talked about enough.
For sure. So when we launched officially this campaign, it was after doing all of this research, and we wanted to be able to arm people with what they could say instead. So for example, you know, you hear land of manana tossed around here. And we're like, why do we use that as a bad thing? It literally means land of tomorrow or right. land of the future.
Right.
What if we flip the script and stop talking about these attributes as if they're negative and start pushing people to think on the bright side? Because if you think about it from a human perspective, typically none of us gravitate toward people who are like, oh, poor me. Oh, my life is terrible. So why would we expect our economy to get better or our opportunities to grow if we're telling all these outsiders that it's terrible to be here? Yeah. Hello, we're doing it to ourselves. There's no amount of money that's going to fix that from an advertising campaign perspective. Like, people here have the power. We have more than 1 million people in this metro area. What if all of us were out talking like this all the time about, instead of making that why are you here, we'd be like, I'm dying to know why you're here. Which piece of the magic did you want to be part of?
Like, what are you bringing to the table? Like, how can we? Yeah. And that's, you know, it's so funny because I think more often than not, we're surprised when we talk to people and then they actually tell us like why they showed up. And it's like, oh, wow. So not only is that really inspiring that you chose to be here, but also you're bringing all these amazing skill sets to Albuquerque and we all get to share in them together. And now you're contributing to our community as a whole.
So you talked about researching for some hard pushbacks. Mm-hmm. Why New Mexico?
So I can tell you, for me, I choose New Mexico because of the people I do life with here. I'm pretty sure I could be happy in any of those others. I've lived in Barcelona. I lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in all these places that we glorify outside of New Mexico, right? And I want to be here. I mean, we joke about things like the sunsets, but it's true.
Yeah.
I can't find those. Oh my gosh. Yeah. For me, I love having access to put my mountain bike in the back of my car, leave my office downtown at 5:30, be in the trails by 6, and home for dinner by 7. I mean, where else do you get a quality of life like that where you can kick ass at work and then still have time to be a human and be healthy and enjoy your interests? So that's my reason for being here, for sure. The data that came out of it, which we knew, you know, hey, it could go bad. We might not get the data we want. But I was really pleasantly surprised. And I think the overwhelming outcome of that was that you might be here for circumstance, i.e. you were born here, your family's here, you got moved here for a job. But people stay for community.
Right.
So there's plenty of people who their job was going to move them again, and then they changed jobs because they didn't want to move. Or they met their partner, their spouse here, and all of a sudden it's like, well, now our family's here and I have roots here. I'm not leaving. And so keeping that in perspective around people come here because they have to, maybe, or they're here because it's their circumstance, but they stay because they want to be part of this community. And there's nothing more powerful in terms of selling a location than the fact that not only do we want to be here, but we want you to be here too.
You know, I think it's interesting you mentioned like the roots part, and that's something I've been thinking about personally a lot. My husband's from Santa Fe forever ago, like hundreds of years, Chavez's, all of them. but, you know, it's so funny because I have kids now and it's like, I think about the parts of them that I want them to understand. And, you know, they are biracial and they do have these other roots that, like, I don't want to move away and have them lose those because they're so unique to New Mexico and they're so special and they're so different. You know, we go up to Santa Fe for fiestas every year because, I mean, how often do you get to go to like a plaza that's like 300, 400 years old and like see your last name up displayed and be able to be like, yeah, like my family helped build this. Like we did this, you know, I want my kids to experience that and I want them to be proud of it.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I was living in the Midwest, you know, you think a building is old because maybe it's 200 years old. And then here, it's funny. We laugh at that.
Right, like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Old. Old.
Well, and you bring up another really great point that is unique to Albuquerque, and it gets pointed out to us all the time. I think as locals, we kind of take our diversity story for granted. And sure, diversity in all of the senses that you would think. But I had a site selection consultant in town a couple months ago, and we're driving along Rio Grande, and we pull into Los Poblanos, and she looks at me, and she's like, I just counted 13 different churches on this one street. Do you guys even realize what you have here? Do you even realize how integrated your culture is and how you see you just see the, I hate the word tolerance because I don't think we tolerate anything. We welcome differences. I think this is the kind of place because of our creative economy, because of our history, where we all look at each other and go, oh, cool. Yeah. Instead of that fear factor around what's different from me. I know my kids, my stepsons live in other cities, and I've heard them make comments about like, wow, I guess I didn't realize, just, I thought all the cities were like Albuquerque. It's nope. Turns out they're not.
Absolutely not. And we definitely, like, we have this welcoming diversity attitude, whether we're aware of it or not, like you said. And it's so amazing to me, especially to have kids that are like biracial, that grow up in this environment where they can be, you know, Hispanic and part of Santa Fe, but at the same time, they can look at their mom and be like, okay, you're super white and you're from Portland. Like, it's cool. We can be both.
Uh-huh. Totally. There's space for all of it.
Yeah.
So how are some ways that people can brag about Albuquerque and New Mexico?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm still on this diversity kick in my head.
Let's do it.
Another thing that I love that we have this really interesting story right now. I work in economic development, so obviously I'm always thinking about how do we get employers here? Well, one of the big discussions in the C-suite, of course, is how do we get more women? In New Mexico, we already proved that women lead. Yeah. Our governor is female. The person running our public utility is female. We have a female running our research university. We have a female running the cancer center. We have a female running the community college. And the list goes on and on and on. And so that's another thing that we don't even recognize. We already walk the walk. We don't even have to sit around thinking about how to include women sometimes, because we just do. We include people. That's, you know, we value that added perspective. It's like, who do we need to swap out at the table? No, it's we invite other people to the table if they're missing. And I love that.
Yeah. And I love here that it's not because we're supposed to, or because we have quotas to hit. It's because that's just what we do.
And I really do think that's special here. Absolutely. And could we do better? Of course we could, but I think that we are light years ahead of a lot of other communities.
So I have a very specific question. I'm always wondering, how do you combat, I can't talk today, the Breaking Bad thing? Is it good for the economy? Is it bad? Is it both? How do you approach that when people are like, oh, the only part of Albuquerque I've ever seen is on Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
I will tell you.
A lot from friends out of state. I'm like, well, there's way more to New Mexico than Breaking Bad, but we'll start with that.
Right.
I will tell you it's both.
Yeah.
So obviously from a tourism perspective, it's amazing for us. You know, you talk to anybody internationally now, you say Albuquerque and they're like, oh, Breaking Bad. Whereas before they might have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we do actually, even in the United States, have an issue with like, oh, do you need a passport? It's like, no, you know that huge state in between Texas and Arizona that you had to go to geography for?
A state headquarter to prove once that New Mexico was a state.
Well, you know, it's so funny. When I went back up to Portland to visit after high school, everybody, like when I moved away, everyone's like, so how's Phoenix? Do you like it there? I'm like, well, Phoenix is probably doing well. I don't live in Phoenix, so I can't speak for them.
Yeah, and we run into that a lot too, where people assume Albuquerque's like Phoenix. So it's hot, it's dry.
Palm trees, no.
Yeah. So Breaking Bad, actually, I mean, being able to see the topography of New Mexico has been positive, where people are like, wow, that place is actually really beautiful. So from the film industry perspective, from putting Albuquerque on the map, awareness, that kind of tourism, how we've been able to capitalize on that for our community, I would say is a great thing. On the flip side, it is amazing how many people who are CEOs, VPs, whatever, who will ask questions about this community based on their experience with Breaking Bad. And sometimes I have to bite my tongue because I'm like,
guys, it's a fictional TV show.
I mean, really? You think it wasn't a documentary? You know?
It's actually a really good coffee shop, by the way.
Ken Burns wasn't narrating.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, our headlines around crime and our crime data here doesn't make it easier to try and combat that perception that people have as a result of Breaking Bad. Not everybody is like that. There are plenty of people who are like, hey, that show was awesome, by the way. Like, what is your actual data? Or what is going on there? Can we go by the car wash?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You can. Somebody from out of state, where's that car wash? I'm like, okay, we'll take a drive. Like,
no, I my casita is way down the South Valley. It's past where Los Pollos Hermanos was filmed, you know?
Yeah.
And every now and again, I'll see the bus and they'll bring out like the camper, you know, and everything. And it's like, yeah, there they go again.
There they go.
Yeah. From an industry perspective, I mean, Albuquerque has so much street cred now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the last 2 years, what we've been able to do with bringing Netflix and NBC Universal and others here, it's not just a location to film anymore. It's one of the major players in the film industry, and what that is doing to create other opportunities. So for example, I'm really hot on chasing the video gaming industry right now, not only because of its obvious ties to film and what that means and, you know, in the production space, but also with our tech talent here combined with our creative economy. I mean, most of video gaming is art. Mm-hmm. It's design, it's storytelling, it's storyboarding, and to be able to use all of that in serious gaming functions. Like, think, my son is a pilot in the Navy, and the simulations he has to do without ever being in an actual aircraft. Like,
not
what
to mention the base and exactly. Like Los Alamos and all these exactly. other things that you have working.
We have all of those natural community assets right here to make that really killer. So anytime there's like that push happening, anytime you get some kind of pop culture icon, I think, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad for sure.
Can I put a shout out and a request here? I'm a huge Bethesda fan. I love Skyrim. I love Elder Scrolls. Can we please get Bethesda here? Because I'd be so happy.
I will say this. Anybody who's listening to the podcast, if there's a company you want to work for, if there's a company you wish would be in Albuquerque so that you could live here and work for them, email me. I will stalk them, chase them, yes. You name it, and try and get in front of them so that they can.
Breaking Bad on you to get. I'm just kidding.
She is the one who knocks.
But we, you know, we do. We're always looking for our community to tell us what they want and our community to give us a heads up. I'm not in the video gaming space myself. And so for me to be the one out chasing it, I really need people who, if that's your interest, tell me which companies are for real. Tell me which companies you want. All right, there you go.
Well, and you know, Ryan and I have talked about this too. We were kind of talking before we started recording a little bit this morning. Ryan and I had a team meeting, the team being the two of us.
The board meeting, the annual What's Up ABQ board meeting.
Very official. As I'm in my, like, my sidetrack hoodie.
I was drinking a mocha.
No, but like, that's one thing that we would like to see is putting maybe, we know that New Mexico is a very artistic community. Yeah. In Albuquerque, we want to put them on the map for them, us on the map for like creating this space for podcasting and content creation, because we have so much content coming out of New Mexico, and film and talent. Yeah. I mean, there's so much. And so we were talking about wanting to do that here and figuring out how that could happen here. I think it's ripe. I think it's ready. But I think, again, if you, Albuquerque, have ideas or creative ideas or things you want to see happen or launch, like, we're having the conversation. I think it's time to have that conversation in a bigger perspective, because I think we're ready for it, especially after all of this COVID stuff is done. There's going to be a turn of events, and I think it's time. So,
well, and you know, it's funny that you bring up COVID, because, well, I know, well, what's that? No, because
I think we all know by now.
We don't
want a stupid virus.
No, we don't want things to go back to normal. We want things to go back to better.
Well, we want to see progress. I think, yeah. And I think, yeah, we're in a really good spot where we can examine where we were for the last year or so and take inventory of that, and then think about, okay, how can we move this forward and be progressive rather than just stagnant or going back to the same old?
Right. Yeah. Like, how do we want to show up next?
Right. Exactly.
I do think that mid-sized cities such as Albuquerque were already kind of on the upswing for people wanting to be in places where it was more affordable, where you had maybe better access to quality of life attributes, that kind of thing. And I really think there's going to be some real trauma for people who have been stuck in 500 square foot apartments in these big cities, where before it didn't matter to them that they didn't have space because they could go downstairs to these amazing restaurants and coffee shops. Well, now all of a sudden, I think there's going to be a real psychological change for people wanting wide open spaces and wanting to be able to afford a backyard now. So I'll be really curious to see if the data swings back to more of this suburban type living versus, you know, that downtown dense urban core, and what that'll mean for our community, for other mid-sized cities. I really think that Albuquerque, from an affordability standpoint, both for people and for businesses, is going to be a huge topic of discussion over the next 12 months, if not longer. Same thing with just that emotional piece of needing to feel connected to your community after this and needing to feel okay.
Well, and I think, you know, Ryan and I went back and forth with this during the coronavirus pandemic. I hate saying that word because it just sounds so like
the plague, the event.
We should just name it, although then we offend whoever has that name.
Right. Karen.
Karen. I know. I just think we should call it the Great Karen of 2020.
She needs to speak to a manager.
That's right. No, but Ryan and I went back and forth with this, and we took some time off from doing the podcast, but I feel like, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to puff us up or sound like we're more important than we are. We're not that important. But I think that we are essential, and that this is the one community lifeline that a lot of people maybe have right now. And so we've been trying to be cautious about how we continue our work. But it's important. It's like you still, the community still looks to you as like, okay, what do we do now? Or like, you have this platform. What are we supposed to be doing? How do people feel? What's the general consensus? Where's the city going? People kind of look at positions like this and like your position as sort of acknowledging where the city's heading and acknowledging sort of that overall tone. And so I feel like this gives us a really good opportunity to kind of walk forward with caution and being respectful, but also thinking about, okay, we have an opportunity to talk to Albuquerque and we have a platform to do that. So like, what's the message we're going to give them?
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break right now. Unfortunately, of course, I know, but we'll be right back. I swear.
What's up, ABQ? Wants to thank our friends at Castle Coffee Company, 727 Tierras Northwest, who has hosted many of the podcast's recording sessions, building a culture of love and community one cup at a time, all done by hand, with coffee blends from Middle State Coffee, Old Barrel Tea Company, Cafe Lush, and pastries from Much Ado About Muffins and The Witching Flower. Castle Coffee Company, downtown at 727 Tierras. Servant-minded, coffee-inspired, community-focused. See the current offerings and order online at castlecoffeeco.com or dial 508-5271. That's 508-5271. Castle Coffee Company.
Hello, this is Eric Carter Lundin, the host and producer of True Consequences, a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. We'll uncover cases such as the Toy Box Killer, one of the worst serial rapists and suspected serial killers in New Mexico's history. We will also discuss mysteries such as alien sightings, as well as hauntings and other weird things that happen in this area of the country. I hope you'll give me a chance and listen to True Consequences. I think you might enjoy it.
You can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And today we have with us
Anne Marie Henton with Albuquerque Economic Development.
What do you want to see happen next with Albuquerque and New Mexico?
Oh, man, this is my favorite question. So I speak nationally on topics such as bold optimism. It's kind of the basis behind the Stop Bagging, Start Bragging campaign, if you are or aren't familiar with that. There's actual science behind positive thinking. There's science behind the gravitational pull, how people flock to cities or to people who make you feel like you get to be part of something great, who make you feel like what you bring to the table matters and it's special and different. And we are so good at that. And so I've been so humbled by watching how, you know, our political partners, our community partners, the way people have just let down their guard and showed up for this community, whether it feels like that or not to people right now. I just want everyone to know, like, I've never worked this hard in my life, and I see other people working harder than me in some of these positions. So we truly have this like heart in this community, and nobody knows what's coming next. Not in New York City, not in San Francisco, not, you know what I mean? Like, nobody knows. And so what better time to be bold and gutsy and really true about who we are? Not even who we want to be necessarily, but who are we? Mm-hmm. And let's embrace that. Let's stop trying to compare ourselves to other cities. Let's compare ourselves to ourselves. Like, how do we show up for each other every day? And how do we get excited about helping each other? There's lots of businesses here who really only need like one or two pieces of advice from people who have done it. They might not even necessarily need a loan. They need someone to take an active effort in helping them succeed through the next couple months so that when we are in a better position economically, they can
can thrive again. I really hope, I know for me, I have certainly changed my consumer behavior patterns from, you know, ordering Instacart in the morning on my way to work because I can't be bothered to stop for 15 minutes at the store on the way home. Or, you know, I'm so busy. I can't stop at a local shop to buy somebody a birthday present. Forget that. I mean, now I'm like, oh, a week for my Amazon package. That's cool. Actually, I don't even want to buy from Amazon. Like, what if I bet somebody locally has that. Mm-hmm. And so just taking.
I'm willing to wait to benefit my neighbor or whoever. Yeah.
Like, I just ordered my first box from Skarsgård Farms.
Oh, nice.
For produce. Like, that's not new. I could have been doing this whole time, but we've been so in that, what do I do in the next hour living space for that's so frantic, long sort of. Yeah. That here I am being this, you know, using my platform to be like, love Albuquerque, brag about Albuquerque. And then meanwhile, I wasn't even taking the time to truly get to know all these coffee shops and all of these shops and that kind of thing. So I really hope that this added slowdown, this forced slowdown and patience and this reevaluation of the brilliance that we have in this community, that we keep doing that when we're reemerged into the wild, so to speak, you know, that we show up for each other in that way.
You know, it's funny, like there was this quote I read the other day and it was, I'll just read it because I have it in front of me. So somebody said, yes, lockdown poses its own mental health challenges, but can we please stop pretending our former world of long working hours, stressful commutes, hectic crowds, shopping centers, infinite choices, mass consumerism, air pollution, and 24/7 everything was a mental health utopia. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, that's so true. Now that we're forced to slow down, we can actually examine things and be thoughtful about them and make informed and thoughtful choices. Whereas to before, it's like you're just going, and you don't think about the guy down the street or this shop on the corner that's locally run and, you know, who's trying to support their family through this. It's crazy.
Right.
So when the event ends,
the Great Karen,
the Great Karen of 2020, what in town are you? Can you not wait to be able to physically go back into
Balloon Fiesta for sure? I don't want to try and pontificate about what might happen there, but but I miss crowds for sure. Yeah. I am extroverted to the core. This has been very challenging for me, not to be able to hug people, not to be able to go sit on brewery patios and see my friends.
There's been so many good patio afternoons where I'm like, you know what would make this a little better? A brewery patio.
So I'm very much looking forward to getting to be back in the space of seeing the people that I love and do life with here.
You know, it's funny. I think on the podcast, we've sort of taken this for the Instagram.
Always for the Instagram.
For the Insta. No, we've kind of been trying to do like mindful Mondays about like, here's a local spot on Monday, or here's locally what we're doing this Monday, or here's a business like every Monday, just because I feel like sometimes people don't know how to start, or they don't know where to go, or they don't know what to do. Like, how, okay, I know I should support local. How do I even do that right now? So I think just even taking that time to think like, okay, you know, I need to buy bread. Where's a place locally that I can buy bread this week? Or it's small steps. I think supporting local is a conscious decision, but it's also like a small step.
And I think this is a good opportunity to shout out Castle Coffee.
Yes.
Because they're still, you know, small occupancy. You can come in. You can still get awesome coffee. Mm. I haven't had any myself because I can't, but the donuts.
The donuts are amazing. They're so good. And I don't want to get on a tangent about donuts, but all I'm going to say is that you should definitely come and at least have a donut if you're not a coffee drinker, because they're delicious. And they're locally made, so you can rest assured you're doing your part.
Yeah. My girlfriend is an artist here, and she's got pages out in the lobby here for people to come get, to give their kids, to color right now.
I love that idea. I grabbed a few for my kids last week. I was like, I'm going to need these.
Yeah. So even more than just the coffee, you know, here's another example of we're sitting in their space for your podcast. Yeah. They've got these art pages. I mean, it's so much more than just a coffee shop when you really look at it. So shout out to Castle for sure. And all these other local companies. Like, we know that it's not easy for you right now. Yeah. And we are behind you. We want you to be successful. And it has been so inspiring to me in economic development to see how fast businesses have been able to pivot. And it's been uncomfortable and it's been expensive and their people don't know what's happening. And yet here they are 2 weeks later live streaming when 2 weeks ago they didn't even know what Zoom was. Or, you know, it's really exciting to see the innovation that's already happening. 6 months from now, I can't wait to see the conversations we have around innovation here.
Well, and I think that speaks so highly of New Mexico, because we have always been this culture that has had to persevere through difficult things. Yeah. We are resilient. We always have been. I mean, there's so many things, you know, from even the landscape that we live to like the social situations to a bunch of different things in New Mexico history that like we have always had to be resilient. And so I am not even surprised that right now New Mexicans are being resilient and they're being flexible. You know, Ryan, we kind of talk about how the one thing about New Mexico that's cool is you can have a great idea. And we've said this before on the podcast. You can have a great idea. You can try it and be flexible and you can fail, and you can fail better here instead of being like this catastrophic failure where it wrecks you and you're over and it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? My life is destroyed. You can bring things like that to New Mexico. You can try them out, work around them, adjust. And if they don't work, they don't work. But it's a place where you can be resilient and you can try again and you're not going to get faulted for that. So I love that about New Mexico.
Totally. And we're in this grace period right now as consumers. Like, we've all just accepted, okay, I'm not going to get my package in 24 hours. That's cool. Or like, hey, we know you've never used Zoom before. It's cool if you need an extra 5 minutes to get it set up. So consumers are being very forgiving around how businesses are trying to pivot. So there's no better opportunity for a business to go, why don't we try those three things that we were terrified to do because we knew we might fall on our face if we did it and we couldn't afford to then, but now we can. And it might just be the thing that like takes us to the next level after this.
Well, it's just a huge curve for growth, really. I think it's just a matter of trying things and experimenting and seeing what works and what doesn't. And we're allowed. It's okay.
And it's also like a sigh of relief, too.
Yeah. Totally.
Because I feel like we all had to like pretend like we were all put together.
We all had it together. Yeah. I definitely don't.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Nobody knows exactly what they're doing. And then after this, nobody knows what to forecast. Nobody knows what to expect. So the best we can do is just keep pivoting every couple weeks, you know, see what's working, see what isn't, and challenge each other to keep showing up for each other, to get excited about, you know, if somebody's doing a new podcast, if somebody's trying a new meeting format, mm-hmm. like remember to like pat those people on the back, like, hey, that was awesome. You should do that again.
So I have a really important question for you.
I hope I have a really important answer.
You probably do. I trust you. Red or green?
Ooh, depends. I would say Christmas if we're talking about enchiladas.
Okay.
But green if we're talking about my heart.
Ooh, okay. And normal situation, whatever that is, where would you go in town, besides, not including a grandma's or a relative's house, for good chili?
Ooh, I love El Modelo, has awesome food. And Sadie's, of course, their chili is always bomb. And then, for whatever reason, the Blake's Lotaburger in Española, their green chili, like, knocks my socks off every time.
I said the exact same thing. And I'm like, what? In Española? He's like, yes, that one specifically. And I'm like, okay.
Shout out Blake's in Española.
Keep doing it.
And I think El Modelo, I drove by the other day. They're getting, like, they're getting some kind of work done. Like, they're getting an expansion. They're getting some, I don't know, upgrades maybe?
Something. Yeah.
Something's going on. I'm excited to see what that something is. It looks like they might be making a patio like expansion. I don't know.
That'd be great.
But I am really excited to find out, by the way. So,
what other favorites do you want to know about?
Coffee and beer, if you have a preference. Because you just mentioned brewery patios.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because that's a huge industry in New Mexico. And it's been blossoming, and I'm interested to see how that's going to come back after Karen.
Great.
Yeah. In our non-COVID moments,
yes.
I do a lot of work at like Via Miriam locally. I think their coffee is amazing. It's also just a great spot. Yeah. And the way that they're transforming that property is going to be really cool over the next couple of years. I think it's like a go-to area down there.
Watching the signs across the street.
Yeah.
Yep. Someone's collecting all the signs.
Yeah. And Mark Baker with Humble Coffee downtown, he's about to launch a food hall. I cannot wait. I feel like I'm just watching him on Instagram all the time. Like, I want to see more pictures.
That is brilliant. I have to say, like, I watch his work too on Instagram, and it's like, wow, like, innovative. Uh-huh. Totally innovative all the time. I love it.
Yeah. Sawmill had just opened. And the one time that I was able to get in there, they didn't really have a lot open yet. So I'm sure there's something amazing in there that I haven't. And then my husband and I, our go-to is always New Mexico Pinon coffee. I send coffee everywhere. I just sent it to my brother and sister in Portland and my kids in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Stumptown doesn't have anything on this.
My kids in Milwaukee and Florida. Yeah.
Forget it.
And then beer. I really like, I don't drink a ton of beer. Actually prefer wine,
well,
but I love patios. So I love the Steelbender patio. It's so fun.
Before this all happened, we went there for brunch, and it was just like the brunch of my soul. It was so good, and I'm really missing that right now.
I have a golden doodle puppy, so anybody who lets me bring my dog anywhere, I basically just post up there. I love Marble in the Heights, of course. Yeah. Marble downtown is always, you know, if you want to go see anybody you haven't seen in a while, just show up there, right?
You're going to see half of your Albuquerque crew, like, hanging out by the food truck.
Yeah. I really like Bosky's beer. I also like the new hard seltzers that Marble came out with. Like, the cucumber lime is so good.
My husband and I went on a date night recently. Well, and I mean, it was literally like Bosky takeout, and then we got a case of the seltzers, and we like sat in the back of our car and opened the trunk in the Mesa, and we were just like drinking seltzers and eating Bosky food, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. I love that all of these distilleries and breweries are also being thoughtful about giving people options, because I definitely want to go there, and I would drink more beer if my body would allow it. But for people who either have, you know, gluten issues or whatever, it gives you an opportunity to still enjoy something locally made while you get to hang on a cool patio. So
all about those patios. I know. I can't wait for patio season. I'm really hoping that takes off. I hope it's not too late by the time all of this blows over and it's like freezing out again.
It's never too late. It's New Mexico. You throw on a jacket, we'll still go out there.
That's right. Give me that patio.
Well, you know, and that's something that we have here, you know? We have that patio culture. I was living in the Midwest. When it's negative 20 outside and your eyeballs are trying to freeze, like, it just doesn't, you can't do that there. We take weather for granted here, too, you know? And it's so nice all the time. And you can do things outside.
We do. And actually, bringing up weather, this is something that sometimes people criticize us in economic development about. Like, why are you promoting the weather? You should be promoting whatever.
Freezing in Denver sometimes, and it's sunny and, like, 60 degrees here, and we can sit and have a beer on a patio.
It's not just about the talent attraction, though. It's an actual business issue for people. So, for example, if you look at the Facebook data center in Las Lunas, a data center needs to be located in an area where there's low risk location. You don't have, you're not going to knock companies offline for days at a time where they're going to lose millions of dollars, or you don't have the kind of weather where people can't drive up the hill in Mesa del Sol to go to work at Fidelity, or, you know, Fidelity has had incredible success here with, you know, non-weather related events. So they've marked it as a backup for their operation should they ever need to move operations as a result of something happening somewhere else in the country. And so, you know, if you're in a place like Florida, my son lives there, I would never move to Florida. I'm not
sad saying it out loud.
That state is like designed to kill you between animals and weather. And
I don't understand. Like, living together with alligators in like a close proximity is not for me. Like, not for me at all.
But in a place like that where you have such intense humidity, it's a business cost to have to cool your servers. Yeah. So there's all these other weather related reasons we promote great weather that go beyond, hey, it's a nice place to live. It's actually a strategic advantage for your business to save money to operate here.
You can also build your business here and maybe put a nice patio on the roof for your employees. Just saying.
Is that your request?
That's my request. I feel like if there's going to be big businesses here, there should be like rooftop patios just so that they can enjoy, you know, quality of life.
Well, it was funny. I noticed even something like architecturally here, we have big windows, but we have nice views.
Yeah.
Like just about wherever you look, you know, you're going to have something nice to look at. And in the Midwest, it was like tiny windows because it gets really cold or there's nothing to look at. You know, we have so much going on here.
We do. And it'll be interesting from the marketing perspective. So we've spent a lot of time trying to find photos or get photos that demonstrate density, that demonstrate people hanging out on a patio. Even though these wide open landscapes are beautiful, it doesn't do anything to help our cause of people thinking we're just this big rural, nothing going on kind of state. Well, now all of a sudden, because people are craving that wide open space, our partners in tourism are testing out, well, maybe we should go back to using those landscapes. And so I'm watching what they're doing, wondering, you know, maybe there's going to be more opportunity for that kind of imagery to work in economic development marketing also. I don't know yet.
Some ideas for you off air later.
Yeah.
Something we've been talking about for a while.
Well, it was funny too. I know. I love to go camping, and I love camping in New Mexico because I can get to places where there's no one, like in the mountains. And I love that. I love that I can get to places where I don't see a farmer's fence. I don't see a field. I don't see a telephone line. I maybe see an airplane once, you know, like that's perfect. Like, give me a six pack of some local beer, give me a tent, buy a stream, and I love it. I'm gone.
I'm just my getaway.
So my question for you is, maybe elevator pitch, I don't know. How do you market to millennials or people that are going to be moving here? I know, right? Millennials. Yeah. How do you market to people that are kind of up and coming in their lives? They have more money to spend. They're looking to maybe start a family, raise a family, settle somewhere for a long time. How do you market to those individuals?
Sure. So I want to start this by saying I speak about generations in the workplace all the time. And it always makes me laugh how we still talk about millennials as being 22.
No,
and
like 36.
The oldest millennials this year turned 38, 39. So some of it has to do with the life transition, right? Like people in their 30s tend to get married, have babies, like all of a sudden it's not just you and what you're doing on a Friday night. And that alters how you spend your money, where you spend your money, where you want to put down roots. So
and I literally just had this conversation.
Yeah, so that's actually why
the mid-sized city thing was becoming a thing the last couple of years was because of that migration of millennials specifically wanting to be in affordable places, wanting to be in places where they could own a home because they were thinking about having children, that kind of thing. So I think New Mexico, Albuquerque specifically, already has a lot of those selling points on a lot of people's checklists. Economic development's like dating, like online dating, where people come into it with this checklist. And companies do the same thing. Where if we're not...
So you meet all of my criteria.
Exactly.
Here's and my non-negotiables.
Yeah, so if a company needs an operation in the East Coast time zone, we're barking up the wrong tree trying to get them to come to Albuquerque. That's just a for example, right? But there are plenty of companies that just don't know anything about New Mexico. It's not that they know it, they think it, they're not interested or that they think anything's wrong. It's they've never really been pitched on it. So my pitch, a lot of time, like any company that comes in, I don't want to sound like I recreate the wheel all the time, but I kind of do, where, you know, this place has always been on the forefront of innovation. Some of the greatest scientific and technological changes in history have come from New Mexico. And I love reading like Inc. magazine where it says, you know, oh, company X valued at $700 million. Asterisk, technology license from Sandia National Labs in Albuquerque. We have the brains here. Yeah. And then you add in this like really cool creative culture and the shift around millennials and Gen Z specifically loving custom, right? Like they don't really follow brands. They follow the feeling and it's more about the custom than it is the institution. Right. So they're a lot more likely to look for things that are different. They want to be on the cutting edge of something. Well, what I dare you to come to Albuquerque and be on the cutting edge here. Like, who decided that Denver was cool 20 years ago? Denver. So whenever Albuquerque decides it's cool, everybody's going to flock here without knowing anything about it because it's just going to be that tumbleweed of word of mouth in specific age groups going, oh, me and my friends all want to live in this city. We want to try this city. It's cool. It's artsy. It's different. We can afford it. I love mountain biking. You know, like people who are outdoorsy, of course, are going to be drawn to Albuquerque. People who aren't outdoorsy might not love it as much. I mean, it just depends on what's on your checklist. But that is the pitch, is we invite you to be part of the magic. You know, the hardest thing about selling this place is it's really hard to put words to it.
True.
You have to come
so
true.
Feel it.
Yeah.
You know, we've said that a few times with people. Like, people ask, you know, well, what's Albuquerque like? I'm like, I mean, I don't think I can tell you. Like, you're just going to have to come and, like, see it. And then you can decide. Like, I can't tell you. There's not words that go with that. So
it's true. It's really hard to assign messaging to what you feel when you're part of this community here.
So what kind of businesses would you like to see? I mean, you had mentioned video gaming industry, things like that. What kind of businesses are looking at Albuquerque, I guess, would be a better question. Like, who's interested? Who's on the docket? Who's showing up and kind of taking a gander and being like, yeah, this might be for us?
I think there are a lot of different industries. I know there are a lot of different industries. I have to be careful what I say, right? If I tell you, I'll have, just kidding.
We do a small coffee shop and Nobody would know we're missing.
We have a lot of interest from manufacturers, from clean tech energy companies, from tech companies. When you ask what I would like to see, I'd really like to see us continue to capitalize on what I would call Industry 4.0 in manufacturing. So when we talk about like 3D printing and, you know, wearable technology and the stuff that Sandia and all these other labs are already working on and already producing the technology for, I'd love to see us play a little bigger in the space around the actual manufacturing of those goods and then the commercialization of those goods. I'd like to see more professional level jobs opportunities here so that, you know, I'm a marketing person. My background's marketing. And the joke in Albuquerque used to be that someone had to move or die for you to move into like a VP position. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but that's why we get this reputation for when you move up, you have to move and leave Albuquerque instead of stay here. I don't necessarily think that's true, but I've seen it play out that way. And so I wish we would get more of those level opportunities, which we're only going to get if we expand our corporate footprint here. We need corporations to locate here for us to get those high level, high paying jobs. I love the clean tech stuff. I think we are primed for new technology and again, our weather with solar and wind. I just think we can, and our governor's aggressive stance and PNM's aggressive stance on sustainability. I think we've got opportunities there. For tech specifically, I think Albuquerque's prime for like fintech, medical tech, that kind of thing. So maybe not like, I could eat my own words after saying this, but you know, we're growing that sector here. We're growing that workforce. You know, 5-10 years ago, we didn't have it. Now we do. And so I'll be really excited to see how that plays out. But I do think that creative element and those more established businesses will be a great opportunity for us. I'm really excited about aerospace, you know, watching Virgin Galactic and everything they're doing here. And
I want to go see it. I haven't been there yet. I really want to like go see it. I'm so excited. I went to the Very Large Array for the first time. Like in the fall, and it was amazing to me. And I just remember thinking like, holy moly, like I had no idea that this large scale thing existed here. Here it is. It's huge. And like, then you think about like a spaceport and you're like, what are we doing? Like, let's jump on this. Let's go.
Well, it's so fun. Like being able, we have that sort of creative spirit, the imagination behind it, but we also have the ability to do it. Uh-huh. And like, that's incredible. Like imagine that in our state, we have a spaceport. Yeah. Like, just think about that. That's so cool.
Like, well, I just booked my first vacation to Mars. I'm really excited. Right. Well, I mean, you can't go on the surface of Mars, but
there's, and the obvious ties to the Air Force Research Lab here. And again, the labs, I mean, we have all the pieces. We have all the things. And to be on the forefront of an industry that also doesn't know where it's going yet, that has an idea, that's taking a gamble, that's doing all this really cool work, New Mexico as a hub for that is really exciting to me.
So we are going to get ready to wrap up. Is there any final thoughts, any final thing you want to say, anything you want to brag about and not bag on? Pearls of wisdom. Anything you want to say to the community or just in general?
There are about 9,000 businesses I would like to brag on. We don't have that much time, and then I would get in trouble for leaving one out inevitably. But I do want to remind people that as Albuquerque residents, metro area residents, we 100% have the power to change our narrative and make this a more prosperous place. We do. We can play a direct role in the economic mobility that our homes, that our neighbors, that our friends and family experience. And it all starts with how we speak. If we don't speak with pride of place, why would we expect people to want to come here? Why would we expect businesses to want to invest in a place like this? And so we have to get loud and excited. And there's no better time. And I know this community is gutsy. And I know this community secretly loves itself, even when we play that stupid role of meh.
Self-loathing.
Stop it. Somebody who moved here from New York was like, what's up with Albuquerque's self-esteem problem? I was like, that is a really great way of putting it. You're like the really attractive person.
It's like, oh, I'm so ugly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Stop it, New Mexico. You're pretty.
Exactly.
Everybody likes you.
So try and flip your mindset. Next time you feel completely wrecked by a headline that you see, don't believe it as gold. There's so much here. Get out and be a tourist in this town and keep doing it. Keep pushing yourself. Keep talking to your friends about the great coffee shop you went to or the amazing green chili you had. You know, the artist, the local artist that you bought something from. We just have so much opportunity to write our own story here. And I think there's no better time. And I just really hope everybody's going to rally around us to help us do it. It is an honor to get to sell this community. And it's really cool to get to sit in front of companies and talk to them about all the great things here. Like, I'm just talking about everything here. I'm not even necessarily creating anything new. It's all of you creating these really great things that we get to sell. So keep doing that and keep telling us about it. And then we get to brag about you.
Well, it's been awesome to have you on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, for sure.
I know. I'm glad we got to get you out of your house, at least for a little
bit.
so excited to have human contact outside of a computer screen.
I know. I think we're going to get to the point where we're all there again, but it's going to take some time. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for meeting us in our small space and bragging on Albuquerque, because it's needed.
Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. I can't wait to hear and see all the future guests you have. And it's a great platform too. The more people are talking about it, the better we're all going to experience this place.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much.
Hey, Albuquerque, and thanks for listening to What's Up ABQ, Albuquerque's very own podcast. Every week, Ryan and Lindsay talk to the people who add unique flavor and make a positive impact to our fair city. We help point you to the places you need to see, visit, or patronize, and to do this costs some time and resources. So, without sounding too needy, could you help us out by pitching some funds our way? You can drop some bucks in the tip jar by donating at whatsupabq.com. And if you know about a local business or establishment that should be featured, or you own one yourself, drop us a line at abqwhatsup@gmail.com. Again, the website is whatsupabq.com, and the email is abqwhatsup@gmail.com. We've also got a few sponsorship spots open, so get in touch with us soon to reserve your business's time on the show. What's Up ABQ is produced by Lindsay and Ryan, with post-production assistance from me, Paul Nixon, at paulnixonvo.com. Make sure and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Tell your friends about us, and thanks for listening.